You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Tonight, folks, I only have two words for you. Wake up! Good night. God bless you all. I'll see you tomorrow night. Just joking, folks. But I thought that might get your attention, and I'm sure that it did. Stay tuned. Got one heck of a broadcast tonight. Something that you all need to hear, and I think you're going to be surprised when it's all over and I tell you something else. So, don't go away. I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, all across this country and around the world, people have bought the scam. They don't believe in law and order anymore. They believe in emotions. They believe in being whipped up into mad hysteria to support whatever cause the lawbreakers, the anarchists, the Nazis want to promote. You want to see a Nazi? You look at the White House. It's just exactly what Hitler did. World War II. He gave an ultimatum to Poland. Poland said, no. No, we're not going to give you our country. You're not going to come in here and occupy our country with troops, and the troops are going to be immune from prosecution for any crimes they commit. No. He bombed them. Said the same thing to Serbia. They said, no, and he bombed them. Said the same thing to France, and they said, no, and he bombed them. Said the same thing to England. They said, no, and he bombed them. It was all illegal, unlawful. It was against the laws of Germany. It was against international law. It was against the agreements and treaties that Germany had signed. It was against the League of Nations. You all forgot about that, didn't you? It was against everything. But he did it. And that's what William Jefferson Hitler, Clinton is doing right now. Well, let's call a spade a spade. He is William Jefferson Hitler. Might be the reincarnation. He's in direct violation of the Constitution for the United States of America. To hell with the War Powers Act. Congress has no right. The Constitution gives them no right whatsoever to abdicate their responsibility and hand it to the executive branch. Not for one day, not for 60 days, not for 90 days. The War Powers Act is unconstitutional, clear and simple. Only Congress can declare war. Next week, the time limit in the War Powers Act expires. And so unless Congress declares war next week, the bombing has to stop. The bombing has to stop. Also, a motion has been filed in the World Court, bringing to the attention of the world the illegality of the bombing of Yugoslavia by anybody, but especially by the United States of America and Great Britain and NATO. They're in violation of the United Nations Charter. They're in violation of their own treaty, the North Atlantic Treaty. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is in violation of its own treaty. The United States is in violation of its own constitution. All of them are in violation of the United Nations Charter. All of them. And now next week, the War Powers Act time limit will expire. Tony Blair is screaming to send in ground troops. Today, a Yugoslavian general said, you send in ground troops, you will come to know hell on earth. And I believe him. I believe him. Clinton's up against the wall now, with the time limit on the War Powers Act running out. Suit has been filed in the World Court. Also, suit has been filed by a group of lawyers from many different countries with the War Crimes Tribunal. And still, Yugoslavia won't give up. How many bombs do they want to drop? Do you realize how many bombs they've dropped, how many people they've killed, the devastation, the destruction that they have wreaked? All in the name of their New World Order and their New World Order police force. Oh, well, we can't stop the bombing because NATO will lose credibility. Hey, up NATO! Screw NATO! Stick it where the sun don't shine, NATO! You're a bunch of thug, criminal, mafia, two-bit hoodlums! And in our White House, we got the reincarnation of Adolf Hitler. No doubt about it. and what's wrong with Americans and people in the rest of the world. Well, in the rest of the world, they're pretty upset about this. You could see a turnover of governments in Italy, Greece, Czechoslovakia, possibly Turkey, and a few other places over this. People are pretty upset. There are chinks in the NATO alliance. It's beginning to fall apart. But what about the American people? Have they all lost their minds? Are they insane? Are they stupid? Well, the answer to all of those is most probably yes, in my estimation. They don't think anymore. They listen to the Communist News Network. They form the opinion that they are told to form. And then, like a bunch of Pavlovian dogs, they begin to salivate on command. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Makes me sick. Makes me absolutely sick, ladies and gentlemen. And it should be making you sick, too. But what's the reason for it all? Why is this happening? Why is it happening? Well, don't go away, because when I come back, I'm going to tell you why. I already told you, but I'm going to tell you again. What's that song all about, folks? What's that song all about? Well, I know what it's about. I bet you, though, that not 10 people in the whole audience catches on to it. It's about hypocrisy. It's about people abandoning the traditional religions of this country. It's about turning your eyes away from evil and even joining it in order to be part of the crowd. It's the disease that's killing America. It is the disease that's killing America. Listen to me carefully, because you need to hear what I'm going to give you now. It's not a new disease, folks. It's not a new infection. In fact, the disease is as old as humanity. And the now rampant infection in our land is just about as old as this nation itself. But now, after over two centuries of its steady, exponentially compounding progress, it has grown to the point where our country's death is so imminent that many of us can now actually see exactly how its final moments of life will ultimately come to pass, if the current trend continues. Some think that this disease is known as tyranny, and would quickly point to its more recent vile dialectic, contrived and carefully controlled and manipulated manifestations: the Waco massacre, the Alfred P. Murrah federal building bombing, and now the Columbine High School killing spree in Littleton, Colorado, and the ultimate synthesis of such dialectic atrocities: always more and more tyranny, and always less and less liberty, all under the color, in effect, the camouflage of law, and further disguised ostensibly as being necessary for such things as safety, security, the children, or any other warm, fuzzy feeling ad infinitum, ad nauseum. It's sickening. After the United States government burned the Branch Davidians, including 17 little children, Janet Reno had the absolute audacity to go on national television and say, "We did it for the children. We did it for the children." And then William Jefferson Hitler parroted that phrase. "We did it for the children." No, you didn't, you stinking liars. You did it for the New World Order. You did it for the draconian legislation that you passed after you did it for the children, that took away more of our liberties and freedoms, that infringed more and more upon the rights of the American people. That's why you did it. And everybody in this country knew it. But how many said anything about it? And why? Why, when there is such a multitude of government agencies with their swarms of officers so heavily armed and technologically equipped to so effectively harass our people and eat out their substance, would there even be the need by the despots and their henchmen to bother to tell us that their rampages of treason, murder, and other crimes is all, in so many frivolous words, for our own good? Why bother? Why bother indeed? Have you got a clue yet? The tyrants know exactly why they bother, and in fact go to enormous lengths in effort to do it. Think you might have an answer yet? I doubt it. But it's silly, isn't it? Isn't it silly after all? The police will always get you if they're after you for anything, and they'll always win, and you'll always lose, right? Isn't that the constant theme that the myriad of cop shows on television are constantly hammering into the heads of millions of viewers every single day, and then this very theme is further supported, reinforced, and hammered home some more by all mainstream media in all forms, from comedy and other entertainment to educational shows and the news, right? And you'll also be certain to see exactly the very same slant in any mainstream newspaper and radio broadcast, too. You see, it's all been carefully and completely cut and dried. It took great effort, but all mainstream media is now firmly and totally in the hands of the despots. Why do you think I call them the communist news networks? And they took it all over precisely so that they can tell you that all their tyranny is for your own good. And in fact, thus advertise it to you along with the rest of the entire nation, right? But why? You got a clue yet? How about asking yourself, why, if the powers that be really have all this power, would they feel the need to advertise what they're doing to us as being for our own good? If they didn't somehow perceive that before they could be successful at not only what they're already getting away with, but also what they're planning to do to us next, that they needed to sell us the idea, and then they needed us to buy it before they could proceed. Now, do you think you might know the answer? I still doubt it. Wow. There are some very interesting, profound, and powerful ramifications here. In fact, such behavior by these tyrants would clearly indicate that the only way they can enslave us in their tyranny is if they first try to sell it to us, and we in turn buy it. Or in other more familiar words, we give our consent. Oh, I bet you some lights are beginning to turn on now. I bet the wheels are turning now. How about that? Hey, how about that? You see, we cannot have tyranny unless we first give our consent, and the tyrants know it. Too bad so few of the rest of us know it. Huh? You see, the founders of this once great nation were profoundly aware of that fact when they so clearly stated that governments receive their powers from the consent of the governed when they wrote the Declaration of Independence. Now, do you know why I tell you to go read these documents, sheeple? The founders probably understood human nature better than any group of men collectively living at the same time, working together in the entire history of the world. They knew that it is a fact, and they clearly stated this fact in the Declaration of Independence when they wrote that governments receive their powers from the consent of the government. Should be governed. Let me say that again. Governments receive their powers from the consent of the governed. And so it is therefore also a cold, hard fact that people always get the government that they truly deserve. People always get the government that they truly deserve. It's a fact. No matter what form it may take, whether it's a monarchy, a dictatorship, constitutional republic, whether it be large or small, just or unjust, the cold, hard fact remains, nevertheless, that such a government, any human government at any level, could not, and in fact, would not exist, were it not first brought into existence by the consent of the governed. Nor would it ever be able to even continue, or change, or grow without their continued consent. A benevolent government could not become a despotism or a tyranny without the consent of the governed, especially in this country. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Some of you might be getting a little glimmer, but I bet most of you still don't have a clue. Don't you think this is a bit strange? You might ask yourself, why, if people always get the government that they truly deserve, would they ever choose tyranny? And then whimper and whine and moan and complain about its existence and its continuation? If government exists solely by the consent of, and therefore at the behest of the governed, which it most definitely does, why then would anyone ever consent to tyranny? Isn't that nuts? Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? You think we're a bunch of masochists? Do we enjoy seeing our freedom and our liberty eroded, withered, and trampled away right before our very eyes? You see, we all know what's happening. Do we really want to be enslaved, used, abused, manipulated, and then thrown away like so much human waste when we are deemed to no longer be of any further use to our masters? Do we desire such a fate for our children and for the future of our country? Is that what we really want? Because, ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what we are really getting, and it's only getting worse all the time. While we continue to whimper, whine, moan, and complain about it, as we nonetheless continue to give our consent to it. Yet some of us are still fond of referring to the resulting tyranny as a disease, which it is not. You see, tyranny is a mere symptom of yet another symptom, our consent to it. Thus we consent to be sick with tyranny, and how stupid that is, how stupid! Because the sickness known as tyranny is killing our nation, but yet tyranny is only a symptom of still another symptom, our consent, and we haven't even reached the disease yet. And since it's now perfectly clear to all but the totally clueless, brain-dead, idiot, ignorant jerks that tyranny is a symptom and is therefore caused by something else, namely our consent to it, and this consent is also itself a symptom of yet something else, we would do well to learn what such consent is a symptom of. And if we can discover what it is that causes our consent to tyranny, we might yet find ourselves closer to the restoration of these United States to the constitutional republic they were founded to be. This guaranteed to us in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution for the United States of America, in terms of a real solution, instead of all this whimpering and whining and moaning and complaining, which is so sadly nowadays often misconstrued as patriotism in the so-called patriot community, but is in reality nothing but so much more useless hot air, while our country continues to die. So just what is the cause for our consent to tyranny? Well, it's a lot easier to find the answer to that question by first asking what the basis is for our consent to tyranny. It's a big difference, you know, since the vast majority of us do not enjoy or even like tyranny, yet consent to it, there must be some basis for such consent other than what we believe tyranny to be the happiest form of government we can live under. We all know that that's not true. So let's see. Let's see. There must be some other reason. So let's look at a few. Tyranny is the best government for keeping the children safe. Oh. But then we have to ask ourselves, what about the children at Mount Carmel Center in Waco? Or how about the millions of children who have powerful and dangerous mind-controlling drugs forced into them every day at their school? That can't be the reason. So how about, let me think of another one. Less crime? Less crime, that's it. Ah, but wait a minute. Even with this country incarcerating a greater percent of its people than any other nation in the entire world, and new prisons being built and springing up like weeds, the rate of violent crime still continues to escalate. And that doesn't even begin to address the completely unpunished crimes of badge-wearing Nazi jackbooted thugs. So that can't be it. Well, how about... the freebies? How about that? Free public schools, free school lunches, free housing, free medicine, free food, free money, government entitlements up the wazoo. Oh, but what's this? If you actually work for a living as an actual contributor rather than a parasite, who are one of the bits of human excrement of the welfare state, whose only purpose in life is to be groomed by their masters for their part in yet another dialectic, and usually a violent one, at that, to end their worthless existence, you've probably heard about something called Tax Freedom Day. You've all heard of that. Tax Freedom Day. It occurs sometime in the month of May. I don't remember the exact date, but sometime in the month of May, where it's said that after that date, you'd actually get to keep what you earn. Oh, you've got to be joking. It's called Tax Freedom Day. Tax Freedom Day. That's the day that they say that after that date, you'd actually get to keep what you earn. In other words, if all the taxes you pay for the year were to be paid in one lump sum, you'd be working from the first of the year until that particular date in May for all of your wages to pay only the taxes, nothing in your pocket. And that sounds to me exactly like all the days before Tax Freedom Day are, in fact, Tax Slavery Days. Tax Slavery Days. So darn. Thought I had it. But that can't be the reason for your consent either now, can it? Is that it? Don't tell me that's it. It can't be. In fact, aren't you kind of sick and tired? Aren't you just absolutely sick and tired while knowing right and wrong? That no matter how much of your hard-earned money is thrown ostensibly at our nation's many problems and woes, that things just keep getting worse anyway? Don't you, in fact, know? Don't you know that what is being called our government isn't our government at all, having read the Constitution for the United States of America? You have read that, haven't you? Oh, my goodness gracious. Did I catch you on another one of those little technicalities? You have read it, haven't you? Oh, yes.
Everything just keeps getting worse. No matter how much money you throw in there, no matter how much they take away from you, no matter how much liberty and freedom you give up, you know that what is being called our government isn't our government at all. Because you've all read the Constitution for the United States of America. That's the supreme law of the land. That defines the government, defines their powers, defines the chains put around the government to protect us and our rights. You did read the Constitution, didn't you? Well, if not, turn off your radio. Stop listening to this broadcast, because nothing else I'm going to tell you is going to make any sense if you haven't done that. So stop listening right now. Turn off your radio. Go get a copy of the Constitution. Read the entire thing. Read the entire Constitution for the United States of America. Right now, this very minute, you can always order this tape. And then you might have just the slightest chance of understanding everything else that I'm going to be talking to you about tonight. Maybe. For those of you who have read the Constitution and thus can no longer claim ignorance and can clearly see and know that the de facto government in this country is not the government defined and strictly limited in its power by the Constitution, what's your excuse for continuing to give your consent? What's your excuse? Don't talk to me about patriotism. You're a sheeple, and you damn well know it. Care to rationalize such shameful behavior while knowing right from wrong? Would you care to try and rationalize it? It's shameful what you're doing. As you know right from wrong, care to explain it to your children? Would you care to sit down with your children right now and try to explain why you continue to give your consent to this tyranny? Explain it to your children, because you're going to leave them a world that's going to be much, much worse than the world they were born into because of your consent. Care to explain to your children why you're leaving them a future and perhaps even an entire legacy of tyranny and slavery where once there was one of freedom and liberty? Would you care to do that? If you do, would you please tape it and send me a copy of that tape, because I want to hear it. I really want to hear it. I'll play it on the air. Edmund Burke, a member of Britain's Parliament in the 18th century, once said, and I quote, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing," end quote. That is indeed true, but I'd like to add to that bit by saying, when good men and women do nothing, thus allowing evil to triumph, they cease to be good and in fact join the enemy by way of their consent to it by doing nothing. Let me read that to you again. I want to make sure it sinks in. You've been getting off the hook too long. You're guilty as hell, every single one of you. When good men and women do nothing, thus allowing evil to triumph, they cease to be good and in fact join the enemy by way of their consent to it by doing nothing. So now, we're getting very close to the answer to why people who know better, nonetheless, give their consent to tyranny. Could it be that it's really because they've allowed themselves to be ruled by fear and are too afraid to do anything other than absolutely nothing? In other words, are they too afraid not to join the enemy's side? Because that is exactly what they have done. That's exactly what you have done. With a very few exceptions, every person listening to this broadcast has done it. Now, there's nothing wrong with fear or being afraid. It's a mechanism designed to help protect us from immediate personal danger. It remains a fact that those who give their consent on the basis of their fear are nothing but low-down rotten, filthy, worthless, stinking cowards. And now we're getting somewhere. Because right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the real disease. The one and only cause for all tyranny. And that disease has a name. It has a name. It's called cowardice. And I'm talking to millions of cowards right now. Cowardice is the real disease. And you won't hear about this one from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention either. You see, they're too busy trying to convince idiots that gun ownership is the disease. Now that we've conclusively nailed down the real disease and tacked it firmly right to your forehead, and to know exactly what it is, it's time to address it head on, starting with some known characteristics of this deadly disease that we may better know our real enemy. You see, folks, this is why I've always told you, if you want to see what's wrong with America, go in your bathroom, close the door so that nobody else can see you crying, and look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Now listen to me very carefully. These are some facts about the disease itself that you need to know. One, cowardice is completely curable, but it will never cure itself. Sorry to shake you out of your lethargy, but you see, you have to do it. You're the only one that can do it. You have to cure the disease called cowardice. It has to come from within you. Number two, left uncured, cowardice will always destroy lives. Cowardice will always destroy lives, whether by outright death or a suffering, lingering, agonizing existence worse than death, or both. Guaranteed without exception. And the lives that it destroys are not limited to only those of the cowards themselves, but affect many others as well, which is exactly why cowardice, when manipulated in the hands of an enemy, of a tyrant, is the ideal weapon for destroying an entire nation and enslaving an entire world. Number three, anyone not properly immunized against it can, will, and most likely already has long since succumbed to cowardice. Number four, anyone not properly and regularly reinforcing and renewing their immunization against it can, will, and probably already has succumbed to cowardice. Number five, the primary deadly synergetic companions of cowardice are apathy, selfishness, laziness, ignorance, and gullibility. That is to say, cowardice can and does result in these other conditions, and these other conditions can and usually do result in an infection of cowardice. Number six, cowardice is extremely contagious. It can be easily transmitted in almost any form from anyone to anyone, from a single person to an entire nation, or even the entire world. And it can be carried, sometimes even without the carrier being aware of it. Number seven, cowardice is extremely infectious. It instantly grows to dangerous levels in those infected, often within seconds after contact, and spreads like wildfire. Now let's talk about some facts about those who are infected with the disease, those called cowards. Cowards always clearly and chronically exhibit and embrace either any or all of the following characteristics: apathy, selfishness, laziness, ignorance, and gullibility. Cowards are always quick to excuse and or rationalize their cowardly behavior in any capacity, and this always results in their embracing a victim status mentality. Victim status mentality. Cowards will always forsake anything and anyone in favor of the course of action their cowardice is perceived to dictate. Cowards are constantly suffering great shame and other discomfort of the disease and invariably seek what their cowardice appears to indicate to them to be a form of escape from pain. And this can take the form of anything from the aforementioned rationalization of their behavior to total immersion in any or all of such temporary diversions as alcohol, drugs, sex, television, video, video games, loud music, and of course, worship of their material possessions, in effect, mammon. Cowards, in truly misery loves company fashion, usually seek the companionship and always the approval and the consensus of other cowards, which may explain why they also often embrace the false notion of our constitutional republic being a democracy. But they feel inferior and even threatened in the presence of those more courageous than themselves. This usually results in the coward lashing out in some way, usually by nothing more than verbal means, name-calling, spreading rumors at those perceived to be more courageous than themselves. It's important that you understand this. Cowards feel inferior and even threatened in the presence of those more courageous than themselves, and this usually results in the coward lashing out in some way, usually by nothing more than verbal means, because remember, coward is afraid. Cowards have absolutely no self-esteem. None. And they feel unimportant. They have an inferiority complex and usually engage in almost any kind of activity that will tend to make them seem or feel more important than they are. They have thoughts of suicide. But because of their victim mentality, it's far more likely that homicide will ultimately end their miserable existence. This makes them ideal human time bombs in the hands of psycho-political dialectic manipulators. And cowards, in their vain efforts to obtain the appearance of self-esteem and importance, often resort to attempting to live their lives through those of others perceived to be more courageous than themselves. That's the reason that a lot of you listen to this broadcast. Often professional sports teams, athletes, and other heroes, whether fictional or actual, provide the theme. Another characteristic is that of gross exaggeration. For instance, a coward claiming to be a patriot will often resort to spreading mere rumors and even known lies in a vain effort to feel important. They will be the ones talking the loudest and the longest about
"When the chip hits the fan, I'll be in the front line with my rifle. You can count on me. I'll be right there. If anything ever happens to you, Bill, I'll be up there in a second."
All the while, I know, and they know, they're lying. And you all know it, too. Cowards, listen to me carefully, because this is what you had better understand. You better understand this right here and now. Cowards are members of the enemy force. Cowards are members of the enemy force. Cowards are members of the enemy force. So long as their condition remains uncured, and are until such time, in fact, a contingent of the enemy. Cowards are members of the enemy force. Cowards are members of the enemy force. So long as their condition remains uncured, and are until such time, in fact, a contingent of the enemy. You better understand that. So is there a cure? Is there a cure? Well, I think there is. So let's talk about some of the facts about the cure for the disease. We've identified the disease is called cowardice. It's killing our once free country. Even as you listen to this broadcast, we've identified some of the symptoms and characteristics of those suffering from the disease. And now comes the part about what to actually do about it. You see, I told you, in fact, number one, right at the beginning of this exhortation, cowardice is completely curable. That was number one. Cowardice is completely curable. And hopefully, after you hear this broadcast, you'll catch on to the idea of analyzing and, above all, questioning everything rather than blindly accepting anything at face value, even what I tell you, which is a behavior which in itself indicates gullibility, a synergetic companion of cowardice. You see, that's what that's all about. When you get a rumor from your neighbor and you pass it on without checking it, and you tell the one you pass it on to, it's absolutely true, it's fact, or you get something over your fax machine, or you hear it on the Mark Kornke show, or on the Bobo Grit show, or somewhere else, and you just pass it on like it's hard, cold fact, and every one of you do that every day. Makes me sick. That's called gullibility. It's a synergetic companion of cowardice. Cowardice. There's some simple analysis that will quickly turn up the answer, and thus the cure. But the specific details of the cure, and this is where you have to listen to me very carefully, and if you don't believe this, keep listening. It might make some sense to you. The specific details of the cure come from God. While searching through God's Word, the Bible, for an answer, the words of Christ Jesus Himself in bright red letters gave me the answer. Listen carefully, folks. Don't turn off your radio yet. Even if you're a hardcore atheist or whatever you are, a Buddhist, I don't care. Listen to me carefully. In the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 5, a woman suffering from a plague touches the clothing of Jesus and is instantly healed. Jesus then asks, who touched him? And although the woman becomes very fearful, she nonetheless confesses to Jesus that it was she who touched his clothes, to which Jesus replied. Listen to me very carefully. This is what he said. Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Now, the profundity of that command is beyond measure. It states specifically the cure for cowardice, and following that command, whether you're a Christian or not, will completely cure cowardice. Following that command, whether you're a Christian or not, will completely cure cowardice. You see, the key is belief. For it is only that which each and every single one of us personally, truly believes that determines precisely how each and every single one of us personally behaves. The key is belief.
for it is only that which each and every single one of us personally truly believes that determines precisely how each and every single one of us personally behaves. And if you don't believe in anything, you have nothing to hold on to. You have no foundation. You have no guts. And so now comes the really ugly part. This is the worst part about this whole thing. This is the really ugly part. You have to take a good, long, hard look at the person whose image you see in your mirror. You have to take a good, long, hard look at the person whose image you see in your mirror for some serious soul searching and asking, what do I really believe in? What do I really believe in? And I'm here to tell you right now, if you don't believe in anything, you are nothing but an empty shell. An empty shell. You ever go to make breakfast and you pick up an egg and you crack it and there's nothing inside? That's you. That's you. Have you ever heard someone claim that although they've heard and perhaps even read that the so-called 16th Amendment was never ratified and is thus invalid, they are still confused as to what to do with regards to the outlaw Internal Revenue Service and their paying of the unlawful income tax? Yet those very same confused people always manage to make absolutely certain, confusion notwithstanding, that they've carefully made out their check to the Internal Revenue Service and have them in the mail by April 15th, don't they? These are the same people that when you ask them to show you a law passed by Congress that requires them to file and pay the unconstitutional and unlawful income tax, they can't do it, have never been able to do it. That's because they're not confused at all, ladies and gentlemen. They are not confused at all. They're cowards, 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 pure and simple, and they're giving their money to the local bully only because they're afraid he might punch them if they don't. Is that how this nation was founded? Is that how we're going to keep this nation? By sucking up and kissing the butt of any Nazi jackbooted thug who demands us to stand and deliver? Knowing right from wrong, do you believe that such behavior is right or wrong? Now listen to me very carefully. You cannot serve two masters. It's either one or the other. And don't try to BS me. And if you BS yourself and believe your own BS, then you're sicker than anyone ever dreamed that you are. You see, because either you really believe in freedom or liberty. You really believe in freedom and liberty. You really believe in freedom and liberty. Or you really don't. It's that simple. It's really that simple. You either believe in liberty and freedom or you don't. That's all there is to it. If sucking up to criminals is of primary importance to you, then you really don't believe in freedom at all. You don't believe in it. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. You're the worst kind of person that could possibly exist because you even try to convince yourself that you know better. If all your things, in effect, your so-called possessions are so important to you that whether right or wrong, you will do whatever anyone in power tells you to do because you believe that doing so will enable you to keep your things, then those things are the most important part of your life. More important than all of your self-respect, your self-esteem, dignity, honor, your so-called loved ones whom you don't love at all, your family, your friends, your neighbors, and your posterity. In other words, your country. And if such is the case, then don't even bother trying to pretend that it's not, for actions always speak much louder than lip service. You're not fooling anyone.
You're not fooling anyone. But if, like those who founded this once great nation, your credo is, like me, live free or die, and liberty or death, and you actually truly believe that with all your heart, then and only then are you a real American. If the freedom, liberty, and the